It's the 27th anniversary since a Canadian-based team last won the Stanley Cup. June 9th, 93, the Montreal Canadiens beat the LA Kings. Vinny Domfus will join us in about an hour, and we've been doing the usual. We've been debating, discussing on paper, of course, because there's not much else to go by right now, the most likely Canadian-based team to exorcise that demon, for lack of a better way to put it. And I have a hard time based on rosters, David, not based on ice performance, but based on paper rosters right now, not seeing the Leafs as the team best positioned to do it. And I think one thing that would go a long way for Toronto is that Freddie Anderson has got to play in big moments the way that Cujo or Eddie Belfour did for the Pat Quinn teams in the late 90s and early 2000s.
Yeah, I mean, are you talking about this year? Like, who's the best option for a Canadian team to win this 2014 playoff, or just in the next couple of years?
Just because, like, who's gonna finally bring the cup streak north of the border?
Well, listen, if you ask Anthony Stewart, he said on Hockey Central a couple of weeks ago when I was hosting, he has Edmonton winning the cup this year. So I thought that was a pretty bold statement. We kind of laughed about it. We'll see. They certainly have arguably the best player and maybe the best two players in all of hockey. So that's not an outlandish statement. If I was to pick of the seven Canadian teams, maybe an outlier that I really like, it's the Vancouver Canucks. I mean, I just think they have no shortage of good young talent. You have that franchise defenseman in the making in Quinn Hughes, and you have that elite top 10 forward in the league in Pettersson, and then you had in Horvat and Besser, and then you've gone and added Toffoli, and you have some good veteran leadership there as well. I really like that Canucks team, especially if Markstrom can continue playing the way he was playing this year. I mean, he might be the MVP of that team this year. But certainly, the Leafs are in that discussion as well. So, the one thing about the Leafs is the lack of consistency. It's been tough to sort of pin them down as a Stanley Cup hopeful. And in the past, guys, one of the big stumbling blocks, when I say in the past, in the last couple of years, it's the fact they're in a division with Boston and Tampa. This whole reseeding, maybe no team will benefit more than the Maple Leafs. I know you're going to have to beat the Bostons and Tampas this year, regardless, to probably get through the East. But if you can avoid them till the conference final somehow because of a reseeding situation, then fantastic. The idea of having to go through Boston and Tampa, which is what the Leafs were going to have to stare down, essentially, if it was the traditional playoff format, that's really daunting at this very moment. But from a pure talent standpoint, Scott, I agree with you. I think the Leafs are right there, upper echelon talent. They just got to figure out how they're going to fill in the gaps around their top five, six players. And as you said, Freddie Anderson, when he's at his best, is a top, elite goalie in the NHL. So that could be a perfect recipe. So any of those three teams, to me, could be the team that finally ends this long drought.
Yeah, I like what you said about, the reseeding, and I think it does benefit the Leafs. And I've never really understood this, the fact that everyone's complaining in Toronto about the playoff format and how you're always going to face Boston or Tampa, two of the best in the league. I what you said, it's you're going to have to go through them at some point. I don't see a difference whether they're going through in the first round or the second or in the conference final. I don't understand that thinking where it's like, okay, I'm going to run into these guys again. Like, what are you hoping they both get knocked out by the time you see them? Like, it's not the case. And I don't mind the setup right now. Even I know that things are done a little bit differently this year, but the way they've been the last couple of years, I don't really see that point where you can complain about, we're seeing these same two teams we're going to see these two teams earlier on in the playoffs. Like, that makes a difference.
Well, I mean, I guess my point is this again. I think you could make the argument that Boston and Tampa are the top two teams in the NHL, with all due respect to the St. Louis's and, whoever else you want to put in that argument, the Washington's. And the fact that you have to knock them both out, essentially, to get through, as opposed to maybe only having to deal with one of them. I think there's some validity to that. I mean, you're going to have Vinny Domfus on from the last Canadian team to win the Cup. Look at the road that Montreal took to win the Cup that year. I mean, it wasn't, they didn't have to go through Pittsburgh, which was what everyone was fearing. Instead, they had to go through an Islander team that upset Pittsburgh, and they disposed of them fairly handily. So, you know, I do think there is something about the path you take and the attrition that does take place. And if you can avoid some of these superstar teams along the way, then you're in a better situation. You know, I think that is, I do think that plays a role to some degree. So, you know, it's going to always be tough to win the Stanley Cup, but if you can take a little bit path of least resistance to do it, then you're all the better for it. You know, listen, the Leafs consider themselves right there with the Tampas in Boston, and on paper, you know, we saw them actually play Tampa very well this year leading up to the pause. So, you know, there's nothing to say they don't match up well against the Lightning. But to me, I do like this idea of reseeding. I do like the idea that we'll have some different we're going to have some different matchups we just haven't seen before, guys. And that's what excites me. You have this 2014 format, more inclusive. You're going to have five rounds of playoffs. And we're also going to have some non-traditional matchups. I mean, the Leafs are going to play Columbus. We don't know who their second-round opponent could be. You know, it could be Washington. It could be Philadelphia. You know, it might be Tampa in the second round. We don't know. So I think that really adds an element of excitement, a layer where it'd be a little bit different. And we could see some matchups we've never seen previously in the Stanley Cup playoffs.
With David Ember, this is Leadoff, Sportsnet 590, The Fan. Ziggy and I were talking earlier in the show, David, and I mean, we can't identify a particular team when we talk about this, because honestly, who knows? But the composition of each team will be fascinating, and their performance will be fascinating to watch, because I would imagine that there are players around the league, and they're not going to cop to this, they're not going to acknowledge it, but there are players around the league who are probably going, my God, we got to come back and play. I mean, this is Muskoka time. This is Kelowna time. This is summertime. This is good weather time. This is, you know, this is where I get away. I know they've been away for a couple of months, but you understand what I'm saying. I mean, this is carving mm-hmm. into summer. This is so outside the norm. It's a natural human reaction. I don't say that in judgment or criticism. Different people view these things different ways. And so Ziggy and I were saying, is there a coach who can rally his troops, say something or frame this in a particular way that gives them a type of edge? Or are you counting on a bunch of personalities getting together in a locker room and having the same level of commitment and hoping that it's a little bit more than the team you're up against?
And Scotty, listen, I've heard some media members who are kind of begrudging the return of the NHL, you know, like, oh man, you know, this is cutting into my golf time or into this or that. And as much as we'd like to say, well, they've been off for 3 months, I mean, really, during a pandemic, it hasn't really felt like vacation time. Let's face facts. You know, there's nothing to do. There's nowhere to go. You have this health scare staring everyone down. I mean, these have been, you know, heightened, scary times. So, yeah, I appreciate that. There's going to be certainly some guys who are like, oh, brother, and maybe this isn't what they're up for, especially if they don't feel their team really has a legitimate chance to win the Stanley Cup. So we're coming back. We're going to have to go through this makeshift training camp. You know, we really don't have a legitimate chance maybe to move to win the Stanley Cup. We're going to get knocked out, and then I got to re-tee everything up in 45 days and get ready for the next season. I get that. I mean, there will be some of those players. So, you know, you want a team with some level of maturity. I mean, maybe Craig Berube is in the best position. He's got a team that's motivated to win back-to-back. He has a mature team. He has a team that understands what it takes to win. You know, those maybe will be an advantage. I do, though, believe the competitive nature of these pro athletes. This is what they do. I'd say the large majority are going to be emotionally, psychologically ready to return. Whether they're physically ready, we'll wait and see. But I do think these guys this has been a long time coming. The teams have been, you know, trying to keep them in shape, give them training programs. The Leafs are doing these Zoom yoga classes and everything else. And now they're going to have a chance to legitimately, 16 of the 24 teams started yesterday, phase two, to be able to get on the ice and get back to what they do. I do think there'll be a level of maturity from most teams and most players. There might be, yes, a handful of dissenters, but I don't think that'll be an overall massive problem.
David Ember's our guest. This is Leadoff, Sportsnet 590, The Fan. Yesterday, David, seven current or former NHL players, all black, announced the creation of the Hockey Diversity Alliance, HDA, which will work outside of the NHL but hopes to work with the NHL on eradicating racism, intolerance, and bringing about positive change. I think this is a hugely important initiative. Akeem Aliou, Evander Kane, Trevor Daley, Matt Dumba, Wayne Simmonds, Chris Stewart, Joel Ward, who I had an opportunity to sit in studio with for a few days last summer. Great guy. So those are the seven. And here's what I'd like. I'm hopeful. The degree to which I'm optimistic, I guess we can debate, but I would hope that at some point some white players join up with this group and get involved. They certainly don't hijack it or take over leadership or become the faces of it, but they come alongside an allyship and get involved. I think that'd be important.
I think that'd be a great idea. And they've made a point of saying they are going to add some voices. The wheels are in motion already to add some female voices, albeit black female voices, to the Alliance, which I think is a great idea because they want to keep everyone voices heard. And I think you're right. I think this is something that the more inclusive it is and the more people that can help understand these issues, the better. I mean, it's a great idea, guys. Like, listen, you know, I was on the show last Tuesday and we were talking about George Floyd and what's going on. You know, George Floyd dies in vain unless real reform and change comes at all levels where there's discrimination, right? Clearly, there's some issues in the National Hockey League and certainly in minor hockey leading up to that for minority players. That no one's debating that, I don't think. This formation of this alliance, essentially, it's going to be, you know, a place where you can advocate for people who maybe feels they don't have a safe place to go to with any grievances they have or any issues they're facing. Essentially, consider it an HR place. You know, yeah. We at Rogers, if we have any problems, we have an HR group we can call on and say, hey, this isn't really, I'm not comfortable because of this or because of that. And they'll try and work through that with us. But they don't have that in the National Hockey League, you know, where every player feels comfortable, you know, talking to, you know, getting their voice heard. And this is a safe place for them to do that. So I think that's the number one thing is now you're going to kind of provide the safe haven that people can count on. And I think that's a great thing. And I do agree with you. I think the more inclusive it gets, then the more effective it might be down the road. But this could be a nice thing to come out of all the madness we're seeing right now.
Yeah, I think what you said it right, David, with if something does happen, because that's the issue, right? Something happens with a team, a player is not going to go. I've been in the room. I know what it's like. I've been in the organizations. I mean, you're not going to call the PA. Your agent's not going to do anything. Who can you go to? And I think something like this is a great idea for helping guys out when situations come up where you have nowhere to go to and you have someone to back you up in a sense. And this is, I think it's great moving forward.
Yeah. And I think that's the idea really. You know, it's been a tough place for many of the seven players. They've all had things that have happened to them individually and certainly, you know, Aliou's and, you know, has made his grievances quite public. But I think they all agree that if we can provide a strong voice and some leadership, and I think sooner than later, guys, I do think this will somehow be a part of the National Hockey League. And to the NHL's credit, they hired Kim Davis to head up their social initiatives a few years ago, and she's a real force. She's an African-American woman. She's very in tune with, you know, what's being said and some of the initiatives that need to take place. And this is just a further layer to maybe help the players, because that's one thing, you know, that players have talked about. The culture is to sort of shut up, keep your head down. If there is something that's bothering you, whether it's something very frivolous or whether it's something very serious, you want to have a place where you can say, this is what's happening. I need it to stop. How can we go about doing that? I need to open up the dialogue. So that's what this is going to do. And that's an important thing. And really, I think that's what we're trying to do collectively as a society, is just keep moving things in a direction where people feel they're in a safer place to make things comfortable and as inclusive and as diverse as possible.
Yeah, and just to be clear, David, I think I was, but I want to be clear off the statement I made off the top, which is that I think white players need to come alongside an allyship, but take a role where they are doing more listening than they are leading on this, right? I mean, because I think there's so much to learn, and lack of awareness has gone from sort of innocent ignorance now to almost willful ignorance, given where the world is. So it's important that everybody come alongside.